KB4DJC.
JC, KB4CBA. And, how you doing, Jerry?
Hey, David. Just, taking it easy this morning. It didn't look like a wonderful day, actually. It was kind of cool this morning. You playing today, or you, I don't think we got any rain yet this morning here. We didn't get much.
And at 5, remains to be seen. We've got a light drizzle on the windshield here over in Taylor's, so, but it's very, very light. And I don't know what they're getting on the courts. The court report, they send out reports on email periodically, and they said courts are up. It's a great day for tennis, so we'll see.
We're close to Malden most of the day yesterday. I was just outside of Jim Millennium Park. I heard you guys talking, but I can't get in on my handheld from there without a outside antenna. So heard some QRM on yesterday afternoon. It sounded pretty terrible. I don't know what was going on with that, but heard you and a couple other guys talking. I heard they got a time in there, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but there were several people in there, and somebody come in every once in a while. I guess they must have gotten tired of it.
Gave their call. I just ignored them.
But it did. They get tired of talking to themselves after a while. Don't hear that very often. I did hear some moan a while, several months ago, where so I just picked the radio up off the road, found one on the side of the road, and keyed the thing up and was talking on it. That wasn't anything intentional. I think he just didn't know what he was doing. And here's some people on over here in Anderson area, too, giving some coordinates in some places in Anderson, like they just got some radios, but they weren't hams, I'm sure of that.
I'm sure, every now and then, somebody gets a hold of one. A 2 meter rig, and chances are it's on 6-1. And if they're lucky, it's already programmed with the shift and everything, and they can key up the repeater, but they don't know what's going on. And the old rule, if they don't give a call sign, I just ignore them. Just act like they're not even there, because that's the way we police the band, as they say.
Never had much. I don't usually run into that very often. I think you have in some of the bigger cities, maybe. But a lot of the guys use tones and cross tone and all kinds of stuff to keep people out of it, and also to keep them from interfering with other repeaters. This year, I'm not. Tones generally not necessary. I remember when I first started in, you could find a handheld, you'd have to buy a board to put a tone in it.
My first radio, it was a 2 meter rig and mobile and Asden 4000. It had the push buttons on the, I missed my gear there. It had push buttons on the radio. So if you wanted to use the auto patch, you keyed the mic, but you had to actually reach down to the radio and push the buttons and to bring up the auto patch.
Tone squelch. A lot of them didn't have tone squelch because most repeaters didn't have them back in the late 70s. But I remember the first handheld I had was a either JZ, it might have been a Kenwood 2400, first decent one I had. And it had auto patch, had the keys for auto patch on it. And we had auto patch on our repeater in Rock Hill then, but it didn't have a tone on it. You could add a think you could add a tone board, you know, inside the radio to do the tone squelch on it. Tone squelch, CTSS or whatever it was, but I can never remember the acronym initials for those things. But I had a Kenwood 7950, I think it was very similar to that ass, and it had the keys to the auto patch on the radio. And I remember it being real small in those days, but then when I look at one now, it looks huge.
$99 for that thing back in 82 at the Greenville Ham Fest. I bought it from Earl Brannon. I don't know if you remember Earl. He lived in right outside of Overbrook and on that side of town. And I went by his house and got a mag mount. And so I could get on the air, and I guess I got me a mobile antenna later. I really don't remember. Yeah, I bought me one of those 7-foot collinear. I think it was made by Hustler. It was a quarter wave over a 5/8 wave, and man, I think it was 7 feet tall. And it was a trunk lip mount, and you could adjust the vertical on it. But it was good because I was in Charleston at the time, and down there you needed something like that to hit some of the repeaters. And I was in Walterboro one day and broke down and used the auto patch in Charleston to call for help. The auto patch was open back then. I don't know if it still is.
Cell phones, you don't see an auto patch very often anymore. Though I think a lot of repeaters have them. They just don't have them activated. But we had an auto patch, and I was in the same situation. I had something wrong with my truck, and I used auto patch to call in and had some guy there at the local club fussed at me. He said, "Use it out of the call sign." I said, "I mean, out of the call district, because you weren't supposed to use it for long distance." And I said, "I'm going to sit here for 4 or 5 hours waiting on somebody to come by. I don't know to out in the middle of nowhere to check me and to help me out." I said, "You can just send me a pink slip." I was frustrated, but this is in 81 or so, I guess. You know, if there were cell phones back then, there were those bag type phones, and nobody but a rich person could afford one.
GBA. Yeah, I remember when the law firm that my wife was working for bought her one of those bag phones, and I think it was 87, 88, somewhere around in there. And that was the first cell phone we had. All right, well, I'm sitting here at Ace Hardware. I'm going to jump in. I've got a huge purchase to make. I've got to buy a little tiny nut for the little tiny screw that I have in a Ziploc bag here, so they're going to be real excited to see me.
50 of them. Anyway, have a good afternoon, David. I'll talk to you again. Hope your tennis game goes well. KB4CVA and 4DJC clear.
League tournament, and they're counting on everybody to do well, so if I do my part. 73 there. Stay well. N4DJC, KB4CVA. Clear.
KB4CVA, KN4VWA.
Thank you.
Quick question. You going to try to make Sedco this year? September 24th.
I know. I hadn't thought that far ahead. Let me tell you what happened. I couldn't get my 80 80 started, so Dave had given me a 40, and I don't know if it was an Enya, I don't know what kind of engine it was, but he said it would run, and so the rails, I took the engine off the airplane, and then the rails were too wide for the 40, so I clamped it. For the heck of it, I clamped it down on both sides with vice grips. And I hooked the hoses up and put the igniter on there and hit it with the starter. Man, that thing started up. And I got the igniter off of it, and it just ran like crazy, and I couldn't get to the throttle to throttle it down. It came off the airplane, and it hit the it hit one of my hoses for my the check, you know, your AC on a car and sealing, and it broke the propeller and cut off, and then it hit the floor. But it's still in one piece, so at least I know it runs.
Good. Well, listen, don't go buy any props. I got some props up here. Just find out what size prop that was, and we'll get together on some of that. But think about Sedco. W4NGU is not going to go this year, and I'm just kind of thinking about trying to put a group of guys together to go up. So think about it, and then give me a call. And then my brother and I are going over to fly probably around 2 o'clock today. So we're going flying. If you want to come, come on. Other than that, that's the world as I know it. 73s, bud. KN4 VWA. I'll be clear after you final.
Well, you know, my schedule, I got a reunion at 1 o'clock at Silver Bay, then I got tennis, warm-up at 4, and playing at 5, so pretty much book solid for the afternoon. But anyway, 73 there, Steve. You have yourself a good day, and stay out of trouble. KN4 VWA, KB4 CBA, clear.
How you doing today, buddy?
N4DJC. 4DJC. Isn't that a guy named Jerry? How you doing, bud? Where you been?
Here's Anderson, minding my own business. Well, I'm not really minding my own business. I'm pretending like I'm minding my own business. How's your 450 room?
Okay. I was actually thinking about putting a beverage on it, but I'm just kind of backing up on that altogether. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to use it, but it's a good radio.
Things came out. I was at the Lawrenceville Ham Fest. I've been Stone Mountain. There's Stone Mountain and Lawrenceville around November. It's been whenever they came out a number of years yet. And I always thought that was a neat read. It was, for those days, it was when it first came out, it was pretty daggum small, and it was just a... I thought it was one of the nicest ones I've seen up to that point. You still got your
991A,
don't you?
That 991A ain't going nowhere. Now, I've got a signal link for that 450, and I'm thinking I might just go ahead and try to use it over on FT8 and maybe another digital mode. And take that off of my 991 so I can kind of run them dual at the same time.
Sounds like a good plan to me. Because you got, with your 991, you got coverage from 160 to 440 on it, I think, if I remember correctly.
It's a full house. It's from top to bottom. And now the 450 does not have 2 meter 440 on it, so... you know, if I set it up to do my FT8, I can still do other things on the 991 all at the same time.
450 do 6 meters.
I think it will. I'm pretty sure it will.
Yeah, this spring coming up, this summer, this fall, you know, if you got a, it won't take, all it takes is about a three element 6 meter beam. That thing, yeah, those digital moves. 6 meters can be wide open sometimes, and you can hit it just right, and the digital mode make it a whole lot easier to make some nice contacts with it. I think the VHF QSO contest, I think it's in June this year, and 6 meters ought to be wide open. That's an idea anyway. If you got six on it, if you're going to quit and set up FT8 anyway, wouldn't be a bad deal to run on six too if it's got that band.
It does. I think it does. So, yeah, that's an interesting thing too, all in itself.
Well, running it on two as well, FT8. But I don't think you got to have power. You got to have a fair more power than I can run. You got to have a 14-15 element, beam up 60-80 feet to get do anything much on 2 meters unless you're at a real high elevation. With that kind of mode, but with 6 meters, you ain't got to be too far off the ground for that thing to start. When the band's open on six is open, that would be a special. Because I think if it's got six on it, you can probably run. Yeah, I guess you can run 100 watts on it.
ND7J mobile.
ND7J, Bob, how are you, buddy? Matter of fact, I was just sitting here thinking about. On my 450, I got me another radio. It's a Yaesu 450, and I got a signal link with it, and I'm thinking about trying to switch that over to do all my FT8 on that 450 so that I can have the 991A free. What is that a big deal to change my computer over?
That's not a big deal. You just need the signal link and the correct cables. And it's pretty simple, actually. As long as you got the correct cables, you're good to go.
I think I've got them. But I've got the little signal link module. And I think I've got the cable to go over there. So I might be all right. So I may be calling on you to kind of help me out with that one day.
Yeah, that's not a problem. You do want to make sure, look up signal link online, and there are some jumpers inside the signal link that you may or may not have to change depending on the radio and the cable that you're using. There are, you open up the signal link and there's little jumpers in there, and you jumper them in different configurations for different radios. So, not sure who the other station was, but good morning, ND7J.
This is N4DJC, the handle is Jerry. That Steve was just talking about FT8, and I thought if that radio had six on, that'd be a good project for him this maybe later on in the summer, maybe this fall.
I'm putting up a tower for 6 meter, and I've got three element beams that I'm stacking on this tower, so hopefully that's going to be up in the air on Friday.
Now, talking about this Friday?
Friday 3rd, I think it is.
From what time to what time are you going to try to do that? I saw the email.
Gary coming for sure. Gary is coming. Danny the climber is coming. I'm going to be there. Tom is coming, and I told them all 9 o'clock. Matt is going to try to come, but he's supposed to get his COVID shot that day. And I think Jim Porterfield is coming, but I think Jim's coming more along, more or less just to kind of maybe direct. he's coming from a long drive, plus I want to make sure I don't overexert him, excuse me, at all. and if you can make it, that's great. We're going to start about 9, and whatever time we go to, or if you have to leave early, whatever the case may be, and if you can't make it, I understand that too.
Do I understand right that you've got the tower base in the concrete in the ground?
We're sticking out of the ground right now. We're only putting on two more sections of tower, and that's all ready to go. The harebrained idea of getting this stack of antennas up high enough to get it into the tower is going to be the that's going to be the question of the day.
Okay. All right, I'm going to try my best to be there. I cannot guarantee, but I'm going to try to be there, okay? Make sure you include me on that email chain.
replied to everybody that responded, and I figured you were schedule or hadn't had a chance to respond yet, that's all. So, you know, but there, unless something changes, there won't be another email string. Consider this your email. We're going to start Friday at 9 o'clock.
Okay. All right. Well, see, I hadn't responded because I'm trying to see how things unfold for that morning. And right now it's iffy. So, and that is Friday morning, right?
Yep, and like I said, Steve, I mean, right now, with the people that I've got coming, you know, I can do it without a problem. It's nice to, the more eyes you have, the better it is. Sometimes the more hands. So, I mean, I'm happy that I've got what I've got, but I can always use, like I said, an extra set of eyes or some extra. This should not be anything physical, really. This is a short tower, 30 feet of tower. The biggest part is lifting up this big stack of antennas. And the good part about it is it's all aluminum, including the mast. So it's not extraordinarily heavy, but it's getting it up high enough to get it into the tower is the question.
All right, now I've got about 10-foot lift on my John Deere. Would that help in any way, shape, or form?
There's going to be 30 feet of tower sticking up. And then I've got a mast with an antenna at the top, and then another antenna 12 feet below it, and I've got to pick it up, and then there's 2 feet below the second antenna. That 2 feet goes into the tower and the rotor. So it's got to get lifted. That whole thing's got to get up above the tower.
Okay. All right. Well, see, you remember, I don't get 10 feet off the ground. So I guess I could be there for moral support on the ground, lifting on the ground, but I don't know how I could help at that point. You got a climber, right?
And I've got a gin pole. And the question is once we get the gin pole onto the tower at the very top, will it raise the antenna? We've got to pick the antenna up more or less by the lower antenna because you got to be able to get the rope off of it. So I'm hoping that my tower climber knows the secret little knots and everything, how to do this. If not, then we will stop, and another day I will go rent a lift and roll it down there and take about 20 minutes and drop it in.
All right. Well, good enough. I would like to see some of this, see how it's done as far as that stack on the top. And I am going to try to make it up there, but that's not a guarantee. So, all right, well, good enough. Jerry, jump in there. I know I'm hogging the frequency. How have you been doing, Jerry?
You guys carry out. No, I've been fine. Worked a couple of satellites yesterday and day before, and I'm going to try to pick the idea. I got NO84 coming over here in a little bit, about 30 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and get everything ready for it when it comes overhead. Finally got through with it. Actually, yesterday afternoon I did, which is unusual. The APRS Digipeer was on, so made a couple of contacts today. That's been very busy yesterday. The ISS is off air until before afternoon. I'll probably hit it a few times, maybe after about 5 or 6. I think it goes off at, it comes back on there supposedly about 18:30. ETC. So that just been around. Got my D-Star hooked up and working finally. Figured out how to do that. And so I've been just piddling around mostly, Steve. Not doing any flying. I ain't got my drone yet. I'm still thinking about it.
I got one DJI Phantom Pro 2 SE up here for sale if you want to try to grab it up. It's a good one. And, hey, are either of you two guys, Bob or Jerry, are y'all going to try to make it to Sedco?
I'm doing door prizes again, and I am doing a presentation for boot camp.
I'm familiar with that. What are you talking about?
The man is a lot more qualified to tell you about it than me. Bob, jump in there and tell him, give him a real proper description.
Really, W4DXDC convention is in Pigeon Forge. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday convention. They have what they call boot camp on Friday, a bunch of different speakers and what have you on Saturday, and then a buffet dinner Saturday night, and then a bunch of prizes are given away, and it's just a big, huge ham get-together, but very well done. Several speakers, they have radios and antennas set up there. They've got most of the big dealers, ICOM, Yaesu, what have you, are there showing off their trinkets. So it's just it's a good deal, good weekend, a lot of fun. It's in September. If you go W4DXCC.com, you'll get most of the information. We're starting to update the website now.
Yeah, I think it had. I'm not sure what. Now, we got a wedding coming up sometime in September, October. I don't know which month it is, right? That'd be on, to be honest. But, so we'll be in Atlanta for that. But I don't know. I want to say it's in October, but otherwise I'll have to check to see what the schedule looks like and see what things look like later on. Sounds like it'll be a lot of fun, though. You guys carry on. I got to go down here and get everything fired up down here from my satellite here in a minute. Steve, good talking to you again. If you're going flying this afternoon, be careful and keep everything nice and shiny. And Bob, good talking to you today. Nice to meet you on there. Hopefully we can meet up in person sometime. Same with you, Steve. Talk to you guys later. M4DKC, clear.
Have a good one, Jerry. Go ahead, Steve.
Jerry, try to behave yourself, and just remember that conference. Hey, the guys all go in and thing with the ham, and if your wife goes along, she can spell out economic ruin at all the shopping around the area there while you're doing your ham thing. It's a fun time. I recommend it highly. So, Bob, as soon as I can get a little bit of time, and you can get a little bit of time, maybe you can direct me to some reference material as far as antenna selection with dual radios. Multiple antennas with multiple radios.
On the phone, I'm actually getting ready to walk into Home Depot, but if you want to, give me a call on the phone. I mean, there's lots of ways to do something like that, but I really need to know what your ultimate goal is. I mean, you can do it with coax switches if you needed to, if you wanted to, but let me run into Home Depot here real quick, and if you want to, give me a call, or I'll be back on the radio here shortly after I leave Home Depot, though I've got another stop, like, almost immediately. Telephone call would work best. ND7J, I'll be back.
Sounds like you're busy. I'll try to contact you later one evening this coming week. And, I've got to go in myself and go ahead and get my lipos on charge so that I can go fly this afternoon. My brother's up from Alpharetta. You have a good afternoon. Thank you, sir, for all your help. 73 is KN4VWA. Clear.
4CBA Mobile.
KB4CBA, W4DJW. Are they not playing today?
We've got a tournament at 5. I'm going to get at 4 and warm up, and then we play at 5. So, but anyway, did you hear my story about your that 40 engine, that number 40 engine that you gave me?
Yeah, I was doing some CAD-CAM work, cutting some fuselage out for what Steve was supposed to have already run by you to get you flying and to help his brother be able to fly in other places that are kind of tight where he is, his brother down in Georgia. We're working on building a group build of the flight test Bloody Wonder. Has he told you about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've already looked it up online, but, you know, I'm not interested in electric.
Yeah, but more important than whether it's electric or whether it's gas is getting your thumbs educated. And this is a thumb educator.
Oh, Roger that. Well, wow, there goes a pre-war car. I don't know what year that is. It's like an Oldsmobile Burgundy. Yeah, well, I guess my thumbs need to be something. But anyway, oh, Lordy, I'm just glad to get an engine running. I couldn't get the 80 started, so I'm going to start taking it apart. And I took the top off, the valves were working, so I put it back on. That's as far as I've gotten with it. I'm going to go to the carburetor next. I don't think it's getting any fuel. And the igniter extender does not work. They give it to you, set in two pieces, so you have to solder it together. And I did that, and I don't have continuity from the tip of it to the other end of the wire, so I'm really a little hacked off about that.
Well, you know, in every manufacturing process, there are some failures. It might be 1 in 10 million, but every manufacturing process has some flaws in it somewhere. You might have got it dead, but you can cut it off and resolder it. I don't think that should be an issue. Anyway, I'm cutting out fuselage parts, and then I'll cut out vertical fins, and then horizontal fins, and then wings, so that we can do the group build, so that you can get in the air and start exercising your thumbs in the air and burn in those neuro pathways between your thumbs and your brain. So that when it comes time to fly that 40 or 80, whichever one you put on it, you'll know left is left and right is right, and coming toward you, they're backwards. And up is down, and when you're upside down, down is up, and up is down. When you're right side up, up is up, and down is down. So that kind of thing, right, so that you can get to know what's what with very little investment, right? You're making a big investment in time. Getting that engine running, getting it set up. You don't want that all to be gone, on takeoff. You'll get discouraged and quit flying. So we'll do a low-time, low-cost investment to learn how to fly, and then the probability of that one living a longer life goes up.
Outlive me. Oh, Lord. Well, okay, so when are you doing this build?
So I ordered all the parts, but the foam boards and the control horns, the material to make them, to make the wings and stuff like that, got back ordered. So I went to SIG and got some SIG plywood for the control horns, and it's supposed to be here a week from Monday. And I found some foam board over at Walmart and Taylor's. But there's some at Dollar Tree, too, and I didn't know where the Dollar Tree was, so I'm going to go look for some more over there. This foam is a little bit heavier than the foam that used to get at Dollar General, but Dollar General doesn't carry it anymore. So just running into some hitches on getting all of the materials. Once we'll get through all the hitches on getting the materials, then it's cutting out. And that's what I'm doing today, is cutting out fuselage parts. Fuselage comes in three parts. I've got two of the three for four airplanes cut out. I'm working on the third of the three parts, and I'll cut four of those out. Then all the fuselages will be done. Then we'll need vertical stabilizers, horizontal stabilizers, rudder and elevator, and wing, and spar, and ailerons. And once all that's cut out, then we can get together, and all the parts are in, then we can get together to do the group build. But it's probably a couple of weeks away, or at least a week, maybe 2 weeks.
You're going to burn out that flurry feeder, buddy.
And the other station, go ahead, KB4CBA.
Did I hear you that you're looking for foam core? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a specific kind. It's lightweight. It's the kind that they used to have at Dollar General. It's really lightweight. It's made by, I can look up the name, Ready Board or Ready Foam or something like that. A company in Pennsylvania that's been there since 79. And it's hard to find.
Some framing stores, okay? They use foam core to dry mount pictures to when they do framing.
Yeah, that's one of the things they have on their site that they show. And they also, because of these guys that are doing flight tests, they added airplanes. They've got those mounting, they've got those things. They've got it for crafts, for displays and things like that at shows, like that show that you were talking about going to a little while ago. They've got it for that. They've got it for pictures. And they included airplanes because I guess they got hit really hard with it once those guys put those YouTube videos out there and everybody started building planes. They just depleted the system. And now that's hard to find. I think Dollar General just switched to another brand and they don't even carry it anymore because it got so hard to get.
I'm going to bail out of here. I'm at Wally Mart, and see, I got to go in and get a couple of things. I'll be back in a minute. KP4CBA.
I'll pour online, Dave, and I buy a big box of it, poster size, you know, 36 by 48 or something. It would come in a box of about 20 sheets of it, but it's been a while. But you might want to check places like that online. You might find it somewhere where nobody else would think about looking.
I appreciate that, and that's exactly what I was doing. I just haven't come across that place yet. But the place that makes it, they don't sell it. And they don't have a how to purchase. And who are all the people we sell it to? In fact, they'll rebrand it, and they'll sell it, you know, wholesale, branded as somebody else. So it is kind of hard to find, but I appreciate that. I used to buy the thicker stuff. This stuff has laminated. It's in three parts. It's got really light paper on both sides, which are your hinge points and your overlap points for joining pieces together. It's not just foam. It's foam that's sandwiched with paper on the outside. But I used to buy the foam that's like 2 inches thick and do wire foam cutting with a hot wire, with a nichrome wire, to build planes. That's a lot more involved than this is. This is just CNCing the parts out and putting them together with hot melt glue and going and flying really, really cheap airplanes that don't matter if you crash them.
That's the foam core is, and yeah, you can cut halfway through it and make a hinge. You can do a lot of stuff, excuse me, with that. All right, listen, Dave, I just heard you there. I want to throw that out to you. I'm pulling into Ingles. Got to get a couple prescriptions and something for dinner today. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later. NT7J mobile for about 30 more seconds.
All right, Bob, good talking to you. Do take care. Good to hear you on the radio. W4DJW, clear and listening.
W4DJW, KM4MWA.
Hey, I heard you're going flying, but I also heard it's drizzling rain out there.
Not where I am. Not at the house. It seems to be fine. Matter of fact, it's, I'd say the winds are about 2 to 3 miles an hour, and it's a high overcast. And I'm not getting any rain up here. If it is raining, it's not hitting the ground, put it that way. So anyhow, Scott and I will both be up there probably around 1:30.
Well, I'm thinking I'm going to, while it's marginal like this, I'm going to cut out as many parts as I can and to get them cut out because I'm on a roll. I got the machine working. I've got the CAD CAM tool working. I got the post-processor working. And it's cutting parts out. And while I've got it all working, I'm just going to stick to it and knock out as many parts as I can. And then, did you hear me telling Dave about the back order on the control horns?
How small of control horns can you use?
So it's got to be really lightweight. These are made out of 1/16 aircraft plywood. And it's just one slice of it that has in the shape of a control horn and another slice of it that forms a base. And then you just sink it down into the first layer of paper, below the surface of the first layer of paper. You route that out. and you epoxy that all together. It makes like a T-grip on the foam, and it strengthens the foam because it goes over the whole length of the aileron and the whole length of the rudder, or the elevator, rather. It's needed. It has to get a lot of control, a lot of surface area, so that the glue doesn't just break out of the control surface. They're kind of specialty horns. If you look at them, he shows you a close-up of them on that video.
They're regular small control horns, plastic control horns, won't work.
No, they just crush that paper. They crush the paper and they pull right out of it. Like if you go down in a dive and you pull up hard on the elevator, they just pull the control horn out of the foam.
So it has, well, okay, I guess you would not get a whole lot of compression because, you know, the ones I have are control horn on one side, and on the other side it has a flat plastic base that you screw the screws into.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to how they glued theirs in, but I use epoxy to put mine in, and the epoxy flows down into the foam. You poke a few holes in there, so once it gets in there, it's penetrating out. You need to beef up the foam around the area where the control horn contacts the control surface. Otherwise, you know, you get it strong for a ways out, then you don't have to worry about it pulling out. But if you just pull on it in the shape of a regular control horn, it's not going to be long. You're going back and forth like that, it's going to be done. And when it's done, it just pulls out.
Okay. What about a super thin layer to put on the foam? Well, anyhow, I'll have to see what you're working with before I can go making any conjectures or hypotheses. All right. Well, cool beans, guy. Just let me know when you want to get together. And I guess I'll have to build Scott's for him.
Well, you're thinking along the right path. That's exactly what you do, is you strengthen it with a thin layer of something that's stronger that goes out past the perimeter of the control horn. You're thinking exactly right. That's how it works. And I did go to SIG, and I found it at SIG, so I ordered it at SIG, too. So the back-ordered won't be here for weeks. The SIG is supposed to be here a week from Monday, if not sooner. I looked and saw that it's on its way to Charlotte from Illinois right now. So it might get here sooner than that. Sometimes they tell you a long ways out just so that better to under promise and over deliver than to do the opposite. Anyway, I'll let you know as parts come in. I'm probably just going to stay here and chew through making all the parts.
Well, we'd love to have seen you out there, but we're going to go out there and burn a couple of batteries and then, you ought to see mine. Okay, listen. Wilder International RC Airport is really coming along.
W4DJW, that sounds good. We need to take a few airplanes out there and christen it.
I really think the area out here is a little bit tight for my mall, so I'm going to go ahead and get myself one of those Little Timbers, E-Flight Little Timber. And it's got like a 36-inch wingspan. And it's got the bigger wheels. It's kind of a similar setup. And I'm thinking that'd be just about perfect to fly out here, along with that thing that we're building. So, can't wait, Bubba.
Very good. Well, I'm going to go back at it in the CAD cam to doing the third piece of the fuselages, and then I'll cut four of those out, and I'll move on to the vertical stabilizers. Anyway, good talking to you. KM4VWA, W4DJW. W4DJW.
Appreciate you, guy. 73s. KM4VWA, clear. Bob, are you still in there? That was you. I got a lot of background and then very little signal. Hear me? I'm not getting anything except a little bit of white background. I will catch you again soon. Probably give you a call this coming week. Alright, so Indy 7J, 73, KN4 VWA. I'm clear.
Camera with KV4 NC.
Real? Alright. You got quite a bit of white noise in your background also. Where are you at?
I believe it's just 7 HD in
The position is not helping at all.
Greenville?
Yes. Well, if you're down in there amongst all those buildings, it's going to be pretty tough for a handheld. But you're doing okay with a handheld.
The position now between bunch of trees and a hole. So.
You must have moved off your X there, Bud, because you just went down into the white noise and then also dropped the repeater. So I'll let you go. 73s, KN4 VWA. I'm clear.
Nice hearing you, Dave, KB4NC.
DJW, KB4CBA. W4DJW. I'll get it right sometime. KB4CBA. Dave, you around?
Just walked back in here. Maggie, the Yorkie, told me she finished eating her breakfast, and I went and checked, and she did, so she got a treat. She gets a treat for eating.
I tell you. Well, so, like, if I wanted to put this 40 engine on my airplane, the mounting bracket's too wide, so where do you get those?
So there's several different kinds of those. David has them over there at the Easley Hobby Connection. They have them that come in two parts, and with two parts you can change the width. They have them that come as a single piece where the width is fixed, but you can take a Dremel if you need to and carve out some of the inside if you need to open it up a little bit. But usually the pattern for a 40 is the same for most 40s. Most all 40s will fit in a 40 pattern. Most all 60s will fit in a 60 pattern and so on. So if you go over to David's, or you just call him at Hobby Connection, ask him if they've got a glass-filled nylon mount for a 40 size, whatever kind of, I think that, I'm not sure what kind of engine that was, a Thunder Tiger. Then he can tell you, he can look it up to see if he's got one for it. And he might not have a glass-filled one, but he may have an aluminum one, two separate aluminum rails. And then they've got holes in them that go into the firewall. You drill and tap the holes that go into the aluminum, and you mount them, you know, and then you mount it to, you know, to the firewall so that you get the center of the carburetor as close to the center of the fuel tank as you can, right? So that it makes it easier on it to draw fuel.
Okay. Well, I think this is one piece, but you know, it didn't even occur to me I could cut it, and it is aluminum, so that's what I'll do. I'll just cut it and move it in. It needs to be moved in some, and, you know, I think the fuel tank, the little, thing for the fuel line is on the left side of the engine, so I have to keep that in mind, but it's a real easy access. It doesn't really put a bend in the hose or anything.
Well, that's good. Is that a 40 size airplane?
Hey, you told me that a 40 would fly it, so I was just taking your word for it.
Well, those Thunder Tiger 40s are pretty strong anyway for a 40, right? They're more like a 46. I think it is a 46. Anyway, they're pretty strong, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Well, if I fly it and it doesn't come off the ground, then we'll know. Oh, man. Oh, okay. Well, I'm back in the garage here. And I'm going to go inside. I got a couple of outlets I gotta switch out. I have to switch an outlet because now that we've remodeled the kitchen, the color is wrong. Can you imagine that? It's a beige outlet and she wants white. circuit breaker outlets, and I got two of them I got to replace. So anyway, I guess that's what I'll be doing, and then I'll leave for my reunion at Silver Bay. It's at 1 o'clock. But anyway, thanks for the advice, and I guess we'll talk to you later. I'll stick around for your final KV4CBA.
All right, David. Well, enjoy it. Yeah, and I know exactly what you're talking about. I had to do that myself just because it didn't match. Not because it was worn out or was functionally broken or anything like that. Just wasn't the right color. Anyway, take care. Good day to talk to you. Talk to you later. W4DJW. Back to the grindstone.
DJW for a quick one. And see you later, CBA. I'll talk to you later. You got another minute, Dave?
Hey, Phil. Absolutely. Go right ahead.
He ain't got time for you, Phil. It's kind of a loaded question because it would require a bunch of people getting different radios. But, you know, in reference to all keys up and stuff like that, have we given any thought about going digital? I don't know what format, DMR or something else. And then, you know, I think all that would stop instantly because you'd know who was keying. And I know y'all have done a lot of work on the mountain, on the thing, but is that anything we're looking at in the next 5 years or never, or what are your thoughts?
W4DJW is syncing up with the repeater. Yeah, yes, that is that. There's a group of the open source repeater that we're going to be using that is working on talk groups. The thing is, and I did look at a couple of other repeaters out there on the market, and they're doing the same thing that we have planned. And the plan is you can receive whatever anybody can send, right? It can be analog, it can be Fusion, it can be one of the other half a dozen different proprietary formats. And as long as they open that standard so that anybody can use it, then we'll add that module to the repeater. And you can key up and on that whatever kind of radio, that digital or analog or whatever it happens to be, and the repeater will be able to hear that and translate that into a neutral format that everybody can hear. So you don't force everybody to buy ICOMs, you don't force everybody to buy Kenwoods, and you don't force everybody to buy Yaesus. You use whatever you've got, and it'll be able to do that. But that's not going to solve this problem, because even if you did that, let's say we picked Yaesu, and we went to that the Fusion, what's going to happen is that's noise that's on the input frequency. And when you key up, you're still going to hear that noise. It's going to be interference. So it's going to degrade the quality of your digital signal that's going in. And it's still going to be an issue, right? It's not going to go away. It's like if you key up your digital and I'm on the same frequency and I key that same thing on analog, your digital is not going to get through. But it's not a human interference that's causing that. That's the bump on the noise floor that travels up and down the band, and all the repeater owners are having issues with that.
Gee, you comments well taken, and I understand what you're saying, but I'm talking about the human initiated. Would we ever, after a period of time, and it would be great to have something that translates all comers and comes into the machine, but would we ever drop off the analog is my question.
No, I don't think. I mean, I could be wrong, right? Never say never. I learned that living in France. You never say never. But I would think it would be highly doubtful that we would do that, because you're going to lose a lot of people when you do that.
Maybe look at doing that sometime in the future, but just a suggestion. And I know there would be a hue and cry from some people, but, you know, everybody buys new radios from time to time, and if they were gently nudged to go digital, they would. Anyway, sounds like you're having a big time with your airplanes, and got David in there, and he's doing it, and Steve, and sounds like y'all are having a blast.